If you got your Bibles, go over to the book of Philippians. I'm going to read a whole chapter tonight, and I came to give you something, amen? I want to help you. You say, Preacher Smith, are you still in the Christmas mode? No, that was yesterday. I'm in the New Year's mode now. I'm looking forward to what God has for me in the future. Amen? Stand with your Bibles open to Philippians 3. And I want to share something with you tonight. I want you to remember this thought I want to share with you. God is not a respecter of persons. Let me say, maybe you didn't get that. God is not a respecter of persons, but I'll tell you what he is a respecter of. Principles. It's not who you are that counts tonight. It's really what you are. Let me say it again. God's not a respecter of persons. He don't love you any more than he loves me. You say, well, Preacher Smith, why does it seem like God's moving that guy's life and not my life? It might be that that guy's life might have God's principles and your life don't. That's good preaching. Philippians chapter 3, are you there? I'll give you something. If you stay with me, I guarantee you'll get something out of the message tonight. I'm going to read all 21 verses. Finally, my brethren, this is a great statement. Rejoice in the Lord. Man, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Well, there's a message right there. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concession. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh boy, that's good preaching right there. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things, and I want you to underline this word here in a moment, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And notice he keeps using this word, and do count them but dung that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, and by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whew. How many agree with me? That's strong preaching there. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Then he ends it up like this. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working by whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Thank God for the passage. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Father, help me as I try to dissect your truth tonight and give these folks something to help them as they are ending 2018 in these next 3 or 4 days and getting ready to journey into the unknown of 2019. Lord, we're not going to survive because of who we are. We're going to survive because of who you are. We're not going to survive because of our name. We're going to be surviving because what character we have. Help us tonight as we share these thoughts with our people. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I'll hopefully be done by 8 o'clock, the good Lord willing. But can I give you 3 things by way of introduction? I love studying the Bible. And by the way, I still believe in being in context. Amen? There's a whole bunch of preaching today going on, but not a lot of it's biblically based. I'm talking about the line upon line and precept upon precept. Let me give you 3 things by way of introduction. I won't spend long here because I want to give you 5 truths tonight that can change your 2019. In verses 1 through 11, Paul betrays himself. Now, did y'all notice when I read that verses over and over, he used the term, I count, I count, I count. Remember, he said that. Paul, in the first 11 verses, portrays himself as an accountant. And the key words was, I count. You know what Paul said? Paul was saying, since I got saved, I'm not that old man I used to be. But not only, he said, I'm an accountant. I count, and I got new values. I want you to know something. If there's anything missing today within our churches, it is values. I'm talking about values. I think we've lost a lot of them. We've lost the value of forgiveness. There's so many folks that they went all 2018 with a grudge, and they're going to get ready in 4 days to go into 2019 with one. Because, see, they don't think they're the problem. Let me tell you, we all got issues. Somebody help me preach right there. See, you need some values. And one of them is faith in Christ and forgiveness. You said, I can never. Hey, Preacher Smith, I'll just tell you how I am. You ever cross me, I'll mark you off. And that's folks in this room. You better listen to me. You don't want to mark nobody off. And you ought to raise your hand that God didn't mark you off. Somebody help me preach right there. I got a God that I'm glad he loves me.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, if you ever get the right values, it'll change your home. It'll change your workplace. It'll change everything about you. But you cannot be rooted in the world and be satisfying God at the same time. Amen. Now, let me hurry. Verses 12 through 16, Paul portrays himself as an accountant. I count. He said, I have new values. In verses 12 through 16, he portrays himself as an athlete. And the key word there, Brother Chad, is I press. I got a new vigor. I want to tell you what, you know what I've seen? And I'm trying not to be negative tonight, okay? But I want to point something out to y'all. December this year has been one of the greatest years and greatest months that I ever experienced at Taze Valley Baptist Church. I mean, God has moved all over this place. And I wonder sometime, are y'all taking this in? Do you evaluate that? Hey, it ought to excite you. I tell you what, friend, I ain't lost my vigor. I ain't lost my determination. I ain't lost my vigor. I'm still excited. Hallelujah. And then he ends up the last few verses, and I haven't got to the preaching yet. I'm just introducing. In verses 17 through 21, see, not only did Paul talk about his past and his present, Paul talked about his future. In verses 17 through 21, he portrays himself as an alien. And the key word there is I look. Or, in other words, he had not only new values and a new vigor, he had a new vision. And I want you to know, without a vision, people perish. And Paul not only had a vision for the work of God now, he had a vision one day of getting a new body like an unto Jesus. And somebody ought to say amen. One of these days, we're going to be reunited with him. We're going to meet our lovers. We're going to have, whoa, glory. Brother Ray, that's just introduction. But what I say when I started this message, because here's the truth. God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of principles. I want to, in the next little few minutes I have, give you five keys to having a great and prosperous and happy new year. So right here, I'm not going to go look. Hey, Lois, I ain't going to go look outside the Bible. What's that pretty boy that lives in Houston? Oh, I'm not going to give you one of Joel Osteen's books tonight until you go home and read it and you'll have a happy 2019. No, I ain't got, don't believe in sin. I don't want to have no part of him anyway. Good preacher, Reverend. And I'm not magnifying Benny Hinn tonight. And if you do, you ought not be left alone by yourself. But I'm going to magnify the Bible. And I want you to, let's look just at one section of all these 21 verses. And let's just look at four of them here. Verses 12 through 16. Five of them. And let's get what God wants from us tonight. You want to have a happy new year? You want to be prosperous? Want God to bless you? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you principles tonight. You know, everything has principles. How many of y'all agree with me? Everything you work with in life has principles behind it. Denny, at Christmas, we was talking about principles. Like even in our finances, the Bible tells us how to operate. Amen, anyhow. Let me give you five things. Look at verse 12 and 13. Let's start there. Paul makes a statement. He said, not as though I had already attained. You know what Paul said? He was saying this, I am satisfied with Jesus, but I am not satisfied with me. Oh, I want you to know, I'm satisfied with God's salvation. There ain't nothing will take you to heaven like God's salvation. I'm satisfied with his security. I'm satisfied with him supplying my needs. I'm satisfied that he sustains me through every valley. I'm satisfied with everything he done for me. But I found out something. For me to be successful, I need to be dissatisfied or have a holy dissatisfaction. And I'm going to caution you tonight. Can I caution you about having a false estimate of your spiritual condition? Come on, help me. You may not be near as far as long as you think you are. I know folk that think they want to be thought they're way up here. By the way, you'll never be way up here till you're way down here. Sometimes we think too much of ourselves. Come on now, am I preaching? Huh? I want you to know, you know what motivates me year to year, day to day? I'm not satisfied with John Smith. I have not arrived. Now, I got some buddies think they have arrived. I know some people think they've arrived. I know some Baptist preachers think they have arrived. I have not arrived, and you have not arrived either. And when you get to the place in your Christian life that you think you have arrived, you'll no longer grow and you'll no longer be a benefit for God because you don't think you can improve. That's good. A dissatisfaction. He said, not as though I'd already attained. I'm not there yet. I'm not. And you're not either. I really want to be better next year than I was this year. I want to be humbler. I want to be more forgiving. I want to have more faith. I want to have more focus. I want my friendships to count. There's people in this room, you'll never know what your friendship means to me. There's certain people in this room I've probably done been shipwrecked with for their friendship and just being kind to me, loving on me. Somebody help me. But let me give you a second thing, because I'll bog down on this if I don't watch it. Don't get satisfied. You know, God's blessed this church. It's been the best year ever. But I'm not satisfied, because if he's big as I think he is, and great as I think he is, we can see even greater things in the future. See, not only for our church, but for your life. What can he do for your life if you say, you know, I'm not satisfied. Maybe there's a step beyond where I'm at that God can really move in my life if I just see that I'm insufficient and I'm not much without him. And I don't mean to go on with that point, but I have belabored it quite a bit. Number two, look at verse 14. And I'll jump from 13. I've got a purpose here, and I want you to see it. Look at verse 14. Look what Paul said. I said 14, didn't I? I'm sorry, 13. Brethren, I've count not myself to have apprehended. Look what he says, Chad. But this one thing I do. Can I tell you what? We got too many Martha Christians. You know what Martha's problem was? She was cumbered about with everything. And you know what? Martha had her nose in everybody's business. You might be smart of you to keep your nose out of people's business and look at yourself or you look at everybody else. That's good preaching if you don't even like it. Amen. Amen. Martha, well, hey, listen, You know what Martha was? She's cumbered about with all kind of junk. She's the cook of the, she was the cook of the family. She did all the busy work. But you know what Jesus said to her? Martha, one thing you lack, and your sister got and you don't have. And that is a devotion. See, you know where Mary was found all the time? You were three times in particular. You know where she found out? Where was she found? Right here.
Yes, sir.
Right here at the feet of Jesus.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. I want to tell you what. I personally think that the altar probably would be filled with people here today if we dropped our pride. We probably read the Bible less right now than we ever have in our lives, and we pray less than we've ever prayed in our life. And reading your Bible is God speaking to you, and praying is you speaking to God. And I want you to know, you wonder why we are not succeeding in our lives? Because our devotion with God is not very good. Whew. See, we get so busy and the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. You'll never be any better than your prayer life and your Bible life and your devotional life is. Amen. Every morning I read several chapters of the Bible. I read five Psalms and one proverb. And you say, why are you doing that? Because I want him to freshly speak to me. And then I want to talk back to him. Come on, help me. You want to have victory? You've got to have a devotion. Number three, let me hurry. In verse 13 also, you've got to have a direction. Boy, that's the toughest thing in the world. If this was easy, I would tell you it's easy. This is probably the hardest thing for me to do. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. Not only do you need a dissatisfaction and a devotion, but you need direction. See, the unsaved, and sadly, a lot of saved, are controlled by the past. Help me preach. But the growing Christian, the fervent Christian, isn't looking back to the past. He's looking forward to the future. Now, here's where you get it wrong. The word forget, Chad, I don't know very many people got this right. It doesn't mean, Brother Jeff, not to remember. Because unless you get some disease that takes your memory away, you ain't losing it. Am I right? Forget! I say this, I'm going to say this kindly to you. There's a lot of you right now, you are still victims of your past. There's things you haven't got over. There's hurt that you haven't got over. There's things that you just will not let yourself let it go. It's so fresh with you. That's why you're defensive. That's why you're paranoid. Boy, that's good preaching anyhow. That's why you're so negative. Because see, the past is full of pain. It is. But look what he said. Whew. Forgetting those things which are behind. Let me give you a few things you need to forget. You need to forget your past sins. If they're under the blood, they're under the blood. You need to forget your past failures. If you ask God to forgive you, if you failed, but now you got to go forward, you can't beat yourself up the rest of your life. I know some people that aren't worth a lick. You know why? They ain't got beyond their past. And then there's some people won't let them ever forget their past. I'm almost reluctant to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. It's kind of stupid. You know, people are crazy. I killed a deer this year. Y'all have already heard about it, haven't you? No, man. There's a story behind this. And some of my buddies said, you ought to put that on Facebook and let everybody see your deer. And because they'll probably believe God's miracle working God. They just kidding with me. So they took pictures of them and they put it on Facebook. I don't even know how. You ask Alice, I don't even know how to post. Now, I can't post a picture. No. You say, you can't post a picture. I don't have a clue how to do it. I had to have somebody do it for me. And they wanted to do it. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened. This is, if I'm lying, I'm dying. This guy gets on, and he makes a comment. And I don't even know who he is, okay? Don't even remember. He said, John David, you forgot where you come from. Your mom used to whip you all over Challenge Branch. Your dad was a bartender. You were from a wicked family. And now you're up there looking like you're Hollywood. And I thought, Lord God, Hollywood? Jeff, he got on my space. And he read me the right act. I found out you can push the button and delete them. I didn't know you could do that. Man, I've been doing that so much now, they're off here. I thought, where is your mind? Don't take me back there. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. My sins, they're all gone. You ask me where they're at? They're all under the blood of Calvary. That's God. Whew. So you need to forget your past sins, past failures. I'm going to tell you something else you better forget. Better forget this. Forget your past successes. Here's where churches are dying. I'm telling you where churches are dying. They're not living for the future. They're living for what they used to be. I'm telling the truth. I mean, they're living for what they used to be. You know what they are? They're either just maintaining their ministry or they're just a monument of the past. Well, Pastor, we used to have great meetings here. We used to have people walk the aisle here. We used to have this here. We used to have God move here. Well, last I checked, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you know what I think happens? We get puffed up in our success, and we don't even know where it come from. It would all come from God. So yes, God's blessed us this year. Man, oh man, we could all rest on our laurels. Let's pay that building off, and I do want to see it paid off. And let's just quit and don't have no vision for future. Let's just go sell that 7 acres of land. Oh, ain't no use having that. You go ahead and think that way if you want to. We've already been offered to buy. I was offered to sell that land here a while back. It could be sold today if I wasn't sold. So what'd you say? Did you pray about it when they asked you? Did you pray, God, maybe we ought to sell our property, sell that 7 acres? Just ask God. Just give God's permission. They asked me to pray about it, and I said, I ain't praying about that. That's foolishness. They ain't making new real estate. Hey, I may be dead and gone, but somebody else may do something over after this old man's gone. Somebody help me preach. Let me go on. Number four, determination. Look what Paul said in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word press there is a vigor. It's a determination. Now, I'm going to give you two things you got to be careful of. Let me give you two extremes you got to avoid. Number one, that you got to do it all. You can't do anything without God's help. And then number two, you got to avoid this, that God must do it all. You know, God uses you. There's a balance there. God uses you to get his job done. I've never been so more determined than I have. I have guys tell me all the time. Say, I had one call me the other day. Said, well, you're 67. How long are you going to preach? You think you'll make it 3 or 4 years, 5 years? What do you think, preach? I said, I think I'll make it till I'm pushing up lilies. I asked the guy, I said, what do you think I'm going to do if I would retire? Oh, I'll tell you what I'll do. Preach and pastor. I'm just here. I'm determined to keep going. I haven't lost my pie. I haven't lost my vigor. I'm still going with it. This old man, listen to me. I may lose my teeth, but I'll gum you to death. And you know what the problem is? Most churches have lost their determination. I got pastor friends, all they worry about is the payday at the end of the month. They don't go to the hospital. They don't soul win. They don't pray with people. They don't counsel people. They don't have time for it. They have time for the golf course. They have time for the fishing hole. You want to know why my handicap is 40? You know why. I don't play. I'm pitiful. Last thing, I'm done. Y'all got something out of this? Look at verse 15 and 16. I'm finished. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, and that means complete or mature, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Notice this. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk, listen to this, by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. There's a fifth thing, Brother Chad. Now, Jared Shoemate used to tell me I was the most disciplined eater he knows. I am pretty disciplined when I get my mind on it. But I want you to know something. You can be wholly dissatisfied and be devoted and have direction and have determination. But if you don't have discipline in your life, you're not going to make it. Whether you like it or not, you've got to play by the rules. I read a story. I mean, some of the old timers might know this story. Some of you youngins may not. How many's heard the story? How many's ever heard of Jim Thorpe? Raise your hand. So you youngins, you don't have a clue, do you? You don't have a clue who he was, do you? No, you don't. Y'all don't either, do you? Come on, you don't either. How many of you don't have a clue what he is? Come on, it ain't no shame. Raise your hand if you don't know, have a clue what Jim Thorpe was. That's okay. Because he was before your time. And it was before my time. In 1912, Jim Thorpe not only won the decathlon in the Olympics, but he also won the pentathlon. But he was stripped of his medals. He was stripped of them. You said, why was he stripped? Didn't he? He didn't keep the rules because he was not totally an amateur. He had some professional in him, and he didn't keep the rules, and they stripped him. Now, they have since reinstated those medals to him. Can I tell you something? If you're going to be successful as a Christian, you got to keep the rules. Here's the manual. You got to follow this right here. You got to stay. Somebody help me preach tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand if you know. Hold them up high. Thank you. Thank you. How many say, Preacher Smith, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I think everybody's saved. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I want 2019 to be a year like no other year. And preacher, I believe you that it's a thing of principle, not who I am. I don't care what kind of economic or social background you have in this room. Do you have the right principles? Are you dissatisfied with it? Are you devoted? Are you tonight? Are you directed? I wonder how many Christians in this room just slip up your hand and say, Preacher Smith, I needed what you preached tonight. I want my year to be better. I want God to do things through me like he's never done before. Slip up your hand. God bless you. Stand with me. It's right at 8 o'clock, and if God spoke to you, I'd just like for you to come forward. I'm going to bow here and pray.
Lord, we need a fresh anointing. We cannot borrow from yesterday. Come and lead us. Of Jesus, his will, his way. Lord, we need a fresh anointing.
Need a fresh touch tonight. A fresh anointing.
We cannot borrow.
Yes.
From yesterday,
yes.
Come and lead us,
Lord. Touch us, God. Help us.
Holy Spirit,
I need your direction, Lord.
Teach us,
yes,
of Jesus.
Yes. Praise God.
His will, his way.
Yes, yes. God help. A fresh anointing. Really get a touch from God. Woo, I need that. Lord, I need you. Yes. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen.